So you have done a lot of research on children and adolescents and the media. So tell me a little bit about that research.
So just like a hugely broad statement. So I research the impact that media has on children and families, both the positive impact and the negative impact that it has. So that's kind of my broad statement. And I research all sorts of different things, like more traditional media, like television, video games, books even. And then newer media, I've done quite a bit of like social media, blogging, all sorts of things.
And so you mentioned that you research both the positives and the negatives.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes in this conversation, it's easy to talk about the dangers of media, which are also relevant. But what are some of the positives that you've seen of different types of media in your research?
Absolutely. So we study pro-social behavior in media. So that's like when people are nice and kind and good to each other, right? And so we have done a number of different studies on this. But the biggest one we did is we collected all of the studies that have ever been done on that topic and then ran some like big statistics on it and found that watching pro-social behavior on media leads to more empathy, pro-social behavior, and less aggression for grown-ups, for kids, for adolescents. So that's one example.
Yeah.
And we also have done quite a bit of research looking at how media can connect families and like the really positive ways that families use media, the ways that it strengthens family relationships. So we've got quite a bit on like parent-teenager co-use. So like when parents play video games with their kids, it tends to be good for kids. When parents are on social media with their kids, it's good for their relationship. So that kind of thing.
Yeah. And what, in your research, what are some of the most noted negative effects of media that media can have on children and families?
Yeah. So we've done a lot of research on media violence. That's kind of where I got my start. And so a heavy, strong diet of media violence tends to be associated with aggressive behavior, less pro-social behavior, less empathy. Done quite a bit on sex in media, right? And so that tends, if you're watching heavy diet of sexual media, tends to shape your way, your views about sexuality, and you tend to be sexually active a little bit earlier, have a little bit more risky sex. So those are some things there. And I also study media addiction, which I think is probably the most negative. So this is like I cannot function in my real life because of my relationship with media, right? So I've done a little bit on video game addiction, a little bit on social media addiction, and like there are no positive effects of addiction to media. It's all like negative. More aggression, more loneliness, more anxiety, more depression, worse relationship with family, less likely to go to college, less likely to have a job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And how early, in what you've studied, how early can media addiction set in?
Such a good question, because I'm writing a paper on this right now. So historically, media addiction has been studied around adolescence when it first appears. But a new study just came out just 2 years ago saying we can see problematic media use around age 4. So this is like, so it's not like I can't function in the real world because of media, because it's hard to be addicted to things at age 4, right? But it's like if I try to take away media, there's a significant tantrum. The child is like fixated on media, asks for media all the time. They're trying to sneak media. They're lying about it to their parents. It's causing a lot of conflict in that relationship. So we kind of see that appear around age 4. So our big new study that we just started is really going to try to find the root of media addiction early in childhood and like map that over time to try to identify what it looks like over the course of somebody's life and kind of the roots of it. And then if we can identify the root of it, if we can like understand the predictors of why somebody has a problem with media in the first place, we can intervene and we can hopefully prevent a whole lot of people from having significant problems with media later on in life.
Right. And obviously this is something you're just starting to work
yes.
on, but do we know at all what characteristics or what type of media usage leads to that problematic media usage in children so young?
I can tell you what I think. But yeah, okay. It's really not been looked at in terms of like the media addiction side of things. So some things that we're looking at, so I would guess that media content plays a key. So I would guess that kids who are watching a lot of pro-social educational programs would be more protected against like developing a problem. Kids who are watching really violent or fast-paced think that you'd be more of a risk factor. I think family climate matters a lot. So if you have a parent who's on their cell phone constantly, and especially when they're with the child, something we call technoference, they send a pretty strong message that media is really, really important and often trumps relationships, right? And the time you're spending with a person. So I'd say that'd be a risk factor. And I would guess that parental mediation of media, so that's when parents talk to your kids about media or set limits, would be a protective factor, right? So that'd be a good thing. And the other thing we're going to look at is child characteristics. So a lot of research suggests that kids who are really impulsive and who have low self-regulation tend to develop problems with media later on. It's really been looked at in older samples, but I suspect we'll see it in this early sample as well. And we're also going to be looking at physiological reactivity. So some of our other work with adolescents show that your physiology really matters in terms of whether you become addicted to media or not, just kind of the way that you physiologically cope with difficult situations. So a really highly reactive kid tends to turn to media more to try to cope with hard things. So I wish he had like, this is all done and we could solve this problem immediately. But literally that's like the project I'm doing right this second.
That's really fascinating. You talked about how one potential factor could be if parents are on their phone all the time when they're with their children, and it sends that message that media is important. And are there other ways in which a parent's media usage can affect their child's relationship with media?
With their relationship, so apart from their, what's the question again?
So how does a parent's use of media influence their child's relationship with media? Like, how important is the parent's example?
So important. I can't even say how, it's just really important. So there's been some research done on just family climate in general. And so what they've done is they'll look at media-centric families. And this is where you have mom and dad who are both on media a lot, who are using it, say, at the dinner table, who are using it on the playground, who are constantly checking, right? And that just creates a whole culture of, high media use. And so kids are more likely to use media, across the whole, so all the siblings in the family. Our parents are more likely to use it as a coping strategy as well for their kids, and as a tool. So if their kids are freaking out, right, it's here, take the cell phone, use that to calm down. And what we're thinking is that that strategy of I can't regulate my emotions, so I'm going to use media to regulate it for me, right? And parents not helping kids work through their emotions, it might be encouraging problematic media over time. So if I can't cope with my life, if I struggle to regulate my feelings around certain things and I need to rely on phones to do that, and parents are giving their kids their phones more and more and more whenever they kind of make a peep or grocery store or restaurant or whatever, kids are struggling to figure out how to regulate their own selves, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a breeding ground for problems to occur. And like I said, we're still kind of figuring this out as researchers.
Yeah. It's scary though. It's scary just because all of
kind of. Kind of. But here's the good news. Let me tell you the good news. Let's say we take the video game addiction literature. It's 90% of gamers are not addicted, right? And so lots and lots of people use media in healthy ways. And so it's really that kind of 10%, 10 to 15% of people we really worry about. And that's think about 10% of the whole world. That's a substantial number of people. We should be doing research on this. But on the whole, most people are okay with their media use. So that's something you need to highlight, right?
Yeah.
It's not all doom and gloom.
That is comforting.
Yeah.
There can be the problematic media use in families, but you also talked about how it can bring families together. What is the difference in how those two situations look?
I'd say that families that have more healthy media use have really good boundaries around media, and they're really purposeful about it. So they use media in specific ways to bring them together, right? So let's all go to the movies together as a way to kind of bond and talk about it. Or let's have this media tradition where we watch a certain movie around Christmas time every year as a way to have a fun family tradition. And so they're really kind of purposeful about that. Or, hey, I want to stay connected with my kid. Here are multiple ways I'm going to do that. One of those is social media. So I'm not just going on like scrolling, right? I'm thinking about why I'm using media, and I'm doing it for a reason. Mm-hmm. And one of those reasons is to help bring my family closer together to benefit us all.
Let's see. So something that I've kind of been looking at is the disparity between what we hear about the recommendations, the most recent recommendations from the World Health Organization, that compared, I think that most recently, children before 18 months shouldn't have any screen time, and from 18 months to 5, I think it's an hour a day max.
Yeah.
But then if we look at how much time kids of that age are spending on media, it's a lot more. Are there dangers of this disparity? Is it something that parents should be worried about if they're really exceeding these recommendations?
Yeah. So I think the guidelines are really sensible, and I know I work with the woman who kind of helped craft them, and she's a really amazing physician and researcher on this topic, and right in line with some of the effect studies. So I think, avoid it as much as you can before the age of 18 months. It's like there's been some research like on media and language. So as every hour goes up on TV, that their language drops by a certain percentage, right? So like those kind of things. But saying that, I do think that media has a time and a place, right, for younger kids. And it's not the end of the world if you're like trying to make dinner and your kids are screaming and you are frazzled to the limit and you're going to scream at your kids and like lose your cool as a mom, you know, like 20 minutes of let me catch my breath, let me just do the right. I don't think it's going to harm your kids, right? And so I think we kind of need to be balanced in that way, because a lot of moms and dads obviously feel high levels of guilt around their kids using media. And so what we really need to do is just more balance and then more media co-use.